Well, good day to you. It's Joel with For King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to the Just Different Podcast. I'm your host, Darren Starks.
Starks the Artist.
This is where we talk everything, faith, life, and culture. Back again, another week, another Wednesday.
Feel me.
Excited to get into this one. I was singing a song before we got into the episode. I don't know if you've heard it before, but okay. I listened, or at least heard it for the first time this past Sunday because I was in Nashville because we had an event for the Cove, and then I went to a different church to visit a few friends, and it was going crazy. It was like miracle after miracle.
Okay.
Open door after open door. Have you heard it before?
Facts. I haven't heard it.
Well, no. It was funny because after the service, I think it was during the service, actually, right afterwards. I just looked up the song, and it's called Another One by Elevation Worship. Okay. But Chris Brown is the one who sings it. And it just reminded me of, like, the first time I saw it just reminded me every time I see him on a song, it reminds me of the first time that I was scrolling through YouTube or I was listening to Elevation or Maverick City,
yeah,
and I saw that Chris Brown was featured on the song. Bro, when I tell you I've never clicked on a video faster.
I thought it was Chris Breezy.
And the whole time I'm waiting for Chris Breezy to come through. Like the little worship sets or moments that they'd be having where they bring people in. I kept waiting for his verse. And bro, it never came.
It wasn't there.
I was like, who is Chris Brown? I was like, oh, that's the white Chris Brown. The Christian Chris Brown. I was like,
I know that had to have happened at least to 60% of the Christian population.
No, I have never clicked so fast. I was like, he's saved?
I said, say less, bro. I'm going to say less. Chris Breezy about singing worship songs about to be anointed, bro. He got a good voice, bro. I'm like, yeah, bro, it's about to go crazy.
Yeah. Nah, that just reminded me of that. It's so I've just been thinking about that. It's just so funny to me.
Nah, I really, every time I see his name, I'm like, oh, that's it. This ain't Breezy. It's the...
Nah, fact.
It's the Elevation Chris Brown.
But for today's episode, what we had down, what I've been thinking about, and what I feel like I'm here recently, as y'all have seen with different episodes, like leaving the familiar, trusting God with your future, is really just what it looks like to give God everything. And as believers and those who are in Christ, the only acceptable form of worship is to give ourselves completely to God. Mm-hmm. So what I've been really trying to understand is, what does it look to do that? And coming into a deeper understanding of what does it mean to be a living sacrifice?
Right.
You know, as it mentions in Romans 12:1. So as I've been digging deeper into that, a lot of these thoughts really came from that and what we've even experienced ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just sitting out on the porch. I'm reflecting, you know, as I do on the episode of what we're talking about. And I was really thinking about how there's been times in my life where there were things that were easy to surrender to God, and there were other things that were a lot more difficult to do so, and how it was very hard to reconcile that in my mind, because it's like, okay, if God's a chain breaker, he's a way maker, he's a stronghold, tear downer, that's not a word, but
that's crazy.
He's all these things and more. Why is it that in one season, it's easy to let go of this thing and I can go before the Lord and I can ask him for his assistance and it seems more seamless? And then other times in my life, like there's these other things that are so hard to give to God, and almost to the point where I'm questioning myself, like, yo, am I doing something wrong? Or even to the point where I'm questioning God, like, God, what's happening? Like, why are you showing up with this thing? But when I'm trying to let go of this, it's hard because I recognize it's something I have to let go of. And I had to realize in my own life that the reason, or really the reason why it was harder to let go of these certain things, because I think there's a lot of people who are in similar situations or who may be in similar situations at some point. And the reason why it was more difficult wasn't because God was failing to intervene, but it was because I was failing to do my part. What I've learned in my walk is that God will always break the chains, but he will never force you to walk out of the cell. When I was thinking on a lot of the miracles that I saw Jesus do in the Gospels, there was always an intervention but then also an invitation. And two specific instances were the woman that was caught in adultery and the man that was sitting at the pool.
The pool of Bethesda, if I'm pronouncing it correct.
So these were two specific instances that I immediately thought of when I was sitting with it. And so what I mean by the intervention and then the invitation was with the woman caught in adultery, there was the intervention, A, draw the line in the sand, y'all better not throw these stones because y'all guilty too. That was the intervention. And then the invitation was go and sin no more. That's what that was. In the other instance, the intervention was, hey, you're healed. He intervened with this man's years of sitting at his pool. He intervened. You're healed. The invitation was pick up your mat and walk. And in both of these instances, it was on these people to accept that invitation. God did the intervening. God did the healing. God did the saving. It was up to them to walk into that and to accept that invitation of going and sinning no more, of getting up, picking up the mat and walking. And it's the same in our lives as well. God is always going to break the chain. So if you're in a situation where there's this thing that you see, it seems like it's just like, why can't I get loose of this thing? It's not because God's failing to intervene. He always will. He's faithful. He's a man of his word. You call on him, everything must bow and flee at the name of Jesus. Point blank, period. That is inevitable. That is a truth. So if it's very difficult for you to let go of this thing, it's not God, it's because you are failing to accept the invitation. And something that I didn't hear for a long time in my walk was just really understanding the power of habits. The reason why it's really hard to let go of these certain things is because when you've done a certain action, you've entertained a certain thought process for so long in your life, and it becomes an intricate part of how you go about everything, it's going to be very difficult to break out of that. It's not going to take one singular decision to break a habit. I can't wake up one day and say, hey, I'm not going to eat. Say I eat McDonald's. This is a random example. Say I eat McDonald's every day for breakfast, every day for 15 years. I can't wake up one day and say, you know, today I'm not going to eat McDonald's. And say I don't eat McDonald's that day. But guess what? It's literally become a part. It's ingrained in my daily process. Guess what? I'm going to wake up the next day and I'm going to want McDonald's again. I got to say no again. I'm not just going to wake up and just, I'm never going to feel that urge to do it again. It is a continual decision that breaks a habit. So that's why with certain things, it's easier to let go of them. And other things, it's a lot more difficult because it takes a continual no. It takes a continual decision. And that's something that I was failing to recognize in my own life. And it was causing so much stress because, like I said, I'm like, yo, what's going on? Like, why can I just say no to this thing over here? Well, it wasn't an intricate part of my life. It wasn't something that I was involving in my everyday decisions that I was doing. But with this, it was ingrained in my daily process of how I went about things. So it's going to take a daily decision of saying no. The practical side of this conversation when it comes to surrendering things to God. So that's what I wanted to say, really as encouragement to people. If you're feeling the way that I've felt before, that frustration, that confusion of why is this so hard to give everything to God? Because for some of us, we know what those things are. Like, we know we need to give up, but it's just that the process of actually doing so. And sometimes that's what it is. God has already intervened. He's already broken the chains. You just have to accept the invitation and practically walk into that.
And then this past weekend, whenever I was in Nashville, also one of my best friends, and we went to someone's house to just help them get a couch in that they needed to get moved or whatnot to their living room. And they happened to have this book sitting on their counter that I wanted to ask them about. And it was The Garden Within by Anita Phillips. And so I was asking them about it. They said that they hadn't read it yet. But one thing that they know was mentioned in the book and that they had heard her say before is the fact that a seed growing, developing roots, and sprouting up from the ground in terms of whatever you plant, whether it's a fruit, a tree, vegetable, etc. She said that looks the same as a thought forming in your mind. The imagery is very similar. Yeah. We look at like the neural pathways and whatnot in terms of the imagery of what happens when a thought forms or is created. It's very similar to when a seed is planted and it's beginning to sprout and also build roots. And so to Jordan's point about habits and what we essentially connect ourselves to and allow ourselves to be taken over by, the more that we feed that, it's gaining roots, its own system within our mind, within our emotions, within our spirit. And from that point, obviously, it's a lot harder to uproot
right.
something that's already built a lot of foundation and a lot of real estate in your life and your daily routine or what you even have set as a priority. And so I definitely second that in a lot of ways, just because it's really important to make sure you're very cognizant of what you're feeding, what you're watering, what you're continuing to give your time to. And once there comes a moment where it needs to be cut and or removed, you have to understand why that is. And the difficult part comes from, I don't know if y'all have ever had to uproot a tree before. You remember when we had to do that?
Bro, I forgot about
that. So I remember our dad was trying to get a gate up in the backyard of our house. And there were some trees that were basically on or in the way of the line that he needed to create. And so like he had us basically go in the backyard and uproot this tree. And I'm not going to lie, it was nearly impossible. Bro. I didn't even know. I don't know how we did it. I'm still not sure how that even happened.
I thought it was going to be easier than it actually was, to be honest. 100%. Like, oh, I just got to dig a little hole around it. Bro, it was so deep in the ground. It was so deep in the ground. Like, the hole's deep, and we're trying to pull it. It's still not, the hole's still not deep enough. I'm like, dang. We tugging on it, pulling on it, it's still not coming out. It was hard. It was a hard process.
Right, and that's exactly what it looks like whenever, if God's asking us to give him, if God is asking something of us, that's what that process is. I talked about it not too long ago when it comes to like excavation of like our hearts and what's happening in our lives and things that we need to give up. And that's exactly what this is. And another thing that I've been having like a reoccurring conversation about that my friend Eric has been telling me is where there's a fire, there's always going to be ashes that need to be removed, in the sense that we have to realize that what works in one season isn't going to be beneficial in the next. So, for example, like obviously whenever you put logs on a fire, right, it sustains that fire, keeps it going, it keeps it sustainable, and it continues to help it grow and flourish, and it provides light and all these things to other people around it. But at some point, like it turns into ashes and you have to remove the ashes and put new logs in the fire. And so we also have to be cognizant of that when it comes to just our perspective when we're talking about how to give God everything, because sometimes even what God is asking us to give up and or give to him may not necessarily be negative or doesn't add value to our life, but it's just not necessary for the season that we're in.
Right.
And he's calling us to put new logs on our fire. And so we all have to be cognizant of that, and that process in itself can be a bit excruciating and painful and still difficult, because it's like, all right, well, this is the way that I have always done things, and this is the process, and this has been like the strategy and the way in my approach. But God's saying, okay, those ashes have to go. This is the new log. And so that adjustment, even in things that, you know, have worked for you once, you also have to make that distinction as well, or rather that decision with those aspects of your life as well.
I guess I've never really had specific language for it, but I've even noticed that in my own walk, giving God everything, there's even transitions in that, like depending on what season you're in, like everything is going to look different. Right? Because in one season I might not have as much, but say I have more the next season, like everything changes, you know what I'm saying? So I really like that a lot. And when I was also thinking about the topic of just surrendering everything to God, God having your all, God having everything, I really asked myself the question of like, why wouldn't you give God everything? Like what would be one's hesitancy, or what would be something that was holding someone back from doing so? And this really came from a conversation I was having with someone at work, a coworker, really a friend. As always, I hate referring to people as coworkers because it seems so like informal, like that's my friend, bro. So I was talking with my friend, and I guess I haven't had a real conversation with an unbeliever in a while, like evangelizing like about the gospel. And this was the first time in a minute. Most people I talk to, like, they kind of have a foundation of a faith at least, but this person, they don't necessarily have that. And they were really talking to me about how they want to cultivate a relationship with God, but they just don't know what that looks like. And then they got into how it's very hard for them to open up to or to give their attention and their time and sacrifice their energy for something or someone that they've never seen. And I don't know why. And we were going over it and talking about it before the episode, but maybe it's just because I've been walking with God for so long, trusting him isn't as much of a question mark. Like I've had history with him. He's shown himself to be trustworthy. So like questioning him or having doubts to that extent isn't even a thought in my mind. So when I heard, it was the first time I heard someone expressing like that in a while. Now it brought me back to this place of I guess like, dang, like, yeah, no, sometimes it is hard to trust God. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, that's so real. And I felt it when they were talking about like, that's real. Sometimes it's very difficult to do so. And how I think that can be a hindering factor when it comes to this conversation. There's certain things that some people might be failing to give to God because they don't know if he's trustworthy enough. How do I know that if I give God this or let go of this thing, that he'll give me something better in return, that he'll honor the sacrifice that I'm giving him? And I think the first step is recognizing that you do have that doubt, but it has to start with the acknowledgement. Because if you never acknowledge that there's a doubt, or you never acknowledge that there's a hesitancy in that way, you can't take it before the Lord. And I think that's where it needs to go. So for those people who do have that doubt, you may not think God is trustworthy. That isn't a reason to run from God. Like, I don't think God's looking at you like, yo, you're going to hell. Like, you're doubting me. You're doubting my faithfulness. Like, that isn't how God's responding. I think God understands us better than we understand ourselves. Hebrews talks about how we don't have a high priest who's unable to empathize with our weakness, but one who was tested in every way, yet he did not sin. So he understands our hearts. And I think we have the ability, thank God, to go before his throne with boldness. And I think you have to be vulnerable and honest. Like, hey, God, I know you're telling me to let go of this thing, but to be honest, there's a part of me that's having a doubt that you can give me something better, that you're going to honor me giving this thing to you. And I think in that, God will begin to give you the push that you need to take that leap. Psalm 37:4 talks about delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. So I think that's a part of delighting in him, is taking him everything, taking him the doubts, taking to him the questions. And in doing so, I think he'll begin to mold your desires. And I think you'll start to have more of an inclination to want to give up that thing or want to take that leap of trusting him. So I think that's a part of this conversation too. There could be this underlying doubt that, you know, how can I trust God when he tells me to give him this thing? How do I know that I'm going to get a return, or, you know, that it's worth even giving up in the first place? But you have to recognize that that's the case and take it to him, because he wants to hear you, and he's always ready to do so.
And also, what's helping me as I become a lot more selfless in my approach and understanding the sacrifice that I need to make because of what he's done for me, and realizing that we also take part in his death, burial, and resurrection in terms of him commanding us to crucify ourselves daily and to take off what belongs to our earthly nature and our flesh, and basically be submitted to heaven and his words and his heart and his concerns and his priorities, is the fact that it's easy to give up something that isn't yours. And so as I'm beginning to come into a revelation of who I am and whose I am, and really honing in on that, it's becoming a lot easier to just say yes, knowing that it's not mine in the first place, and that he can do a lot more with anything than I can do with it in my own hands. So that's been a really significant part of this process for me, with what Jordan's saying, along with just acknowledging, okay, the hesitancy of just this trust that may be there. And then also from that, really starting to dig more into, okay, well, who is God and his character, and what is my response supposed to be to that? And as I begin to mature in my faith, that's where I'm coming to. And he mentioned that with Psalms 37:4, when it talks about he will give you the desires of your heart, as we begin to delight in him, as we begin to sit in his presence, as we begin to just continue to petition him with that which is burdening us and whatnot, like, our desires begin to change. And so a lot of what I think I want or what I can't trust him with, I begin to just let go, because I'm coming into more of a revelation of him, his goodness, and how much of this is actually his, and yeah, none of it's mine. So I'm glad that he mentioned that. Also, something I was thinking about is the fact that there's a difference between honor and obedience. And a lot of this conversation stems from that. Jordan had asked the question of, why wouldn't we want to give everything to God? Mm-hmm. And I think this point kind of relates to that, because the difference between the two is the fact that you have to think about it almost in relation to your own earthly parents or whoever raised you, like in the house. So obedience is basically heeding to instruction that's given to you whenever you're asked to do something. So let's say that your parents are always, or at least asking you to take out the trash or do the dishes or clean the bathroom. And every time that they ask, you end up doing it and you say yes and you're willing, but they would probably prefer that they don't have to keep asking you.
Right.
To take out the trash repeatedly every single week. They don't have to keep asking you to do the dishes every single day and or clean the bathroom every so often or periodically. They would prefer that you just honor them, their instruction, which you know that they've already laid out for you to do,
right,
and be initiative and go ahead and do it, and they don't have to ask. And I think that's what I'm coming to realize, even with my relationship with God, is, okay, am I willing to take a step without having been asked to? He doesn't have to keep repeating the same things and telling me, okay, this is what you need to let go of,
right,
or this is what you need to do. All right, can I have some agency within myself to honor him, to understand and realize, to Jordan's point, like it's an invitation. Like I have to take the step to go ahead and be, you know what, this needs to be cut to make more room.
Yeah.
Right. And that's, and I've been bringing up fasting so much recently, but that's a great way to honor God, is I'm going to take the initiative. Like, you don't have to ask me to do this, but I'm going to take a step to, you know what, cut back and make intentional efforts to make sure that my flesh isn't what's reigning within my body,
right,
or controlling me, and there's no distraction that's taking me away from you. Or even worship within itself is also a part of this, is being initiative. You don't have to ask me to worship you, and I'm not just going to do it on the Sunday, but I'm going to take some time to set aside just to bask in your presence, to tell you that you're worthy and praise your name. Like, honoring God and getting to that point, I think that's a part of it. How do we give God everything? What does it mean to be a living sacrifice? It's like taking that step without having to be asked. Like, taking initiative, and even doing that when you don't feel like, and that comes with a lot of discipline independent of like the circumstance, whatever the day may bring, or even what's happening as you wake up and start your day, your week, your month. It's saying no, like, I'm going to. And I think this is so important, because I'm reminded of this because yesterday, right, me and Jordan, which we're going to tell you all a lot more about, we're about to essentially go to Africa and climb this mountain. So we needed to start training for it, and I basically haven't done anything yet. It's about like a month and a half away.
Right.
So yesterday, I told myself Monday that I was going to start. I don't know what happened. I had like allergies really bad. I couldn't sleep, so I just didn't have the time. But Tuesday, I was like, all right, now it's time for me to get into it. And it was getting later in the day, and I was like, all right, I'm probably just going to put it off and just not do it and just like wait until next week. And right before I actually hopped on a call with one of my friends, it was my accountability partner, I said, you know what, I need to go ahead and just take the step and initiative to do it and make it happen, because no one else is going to do it for me, and it's about that time. And so essentially after my call, got all my clothes on, did the run, and y'all, it was actually crazy. It was really rough. Yo, I couldn't even run the whole time, bro. I thought I could. I didn't even run that much. It's like this big circle around the crib.
That's funny.
This route I usually take when I do my walks, and yo, I had to like run like a fourth of it. I was cooked. It was the first run in a while. But anyways, I think that that's maturity, and I bring that up because I used to be an athlete, and as a part of being an athlete, there was a practice schedule, and every single week, you had a specific set time that you had to be at practice because you were asked by your coach, and it was a part of your obligation of being a part of the team, and so I was consistently doing practice and working out all the time because there was a set schedule and someone telling me to do so. But after I stopped playing sports, and I get into college and adulthood and everything else, there was no one there to push me and or tell me, all right, this is the time we need to go and do this.
Yeah.
This is the time you need to be at the gym. This is how much you need to be running this week. This is what you need to be lifting. This is how you need to be eating. It was now on me to take initiative for myself and honor myself and my health and my own body to say, you know what? I don't need anyone else to tell me, try to coerce me, or influence me in any way or persuade me to do anything. It has to come from within.
Yeah.
Because I have a respect enough, at least for my body, and I want to live well, to go ahead and do it. And I think it's the same way. So like, it's like honoring God and not having someone having to tell you that, like, to go to church, to go to life group, to fast. Like, the only time you fast is whenever it's a corporate fast and the preacher is initiating it, or the only time you worship is whenever there's a worship night that has to be organized. But can you do that from yourself and from the respect and admiration that you have for God? Because that's where honor stems from.
Yeah.
Because at some point you have to make a decision. I have to make a decision. So that's been helping me as well, of just being cognizant of honor.
Yeah.
And initiative of that. So whenever I have that in mind, it puts a whole new meaning on Romans 12:1, which I've mentioned, but I haven't been able to read yet, which says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That you present. I feel if you've ever had a presentation that you've had to give in class, or you know those people that like come up to you whenever you're at different functions or events and they have the little catered appetizers and samples or whatever the case may be. That's what I feel it is. They have to present this food to you. Mm. They're coming up to you. You didn't have to ask for that. They're asking you, how can I be at your service?
Yeah.
Would you like this? Is this pleasing to you? Do you need another one? That's what that is. Mm. This is your reasonable service, is to present, Lord, I'm yours. My life is yours. It's in your hands. And I'm giving it completely to you. So that's the imagery that comes up. But that's what honor is. Mm-hmm. And cultivating that, as you step into it more, it becomes just easier and easier. Bringing this all the way back, is this now becomes a seed that's planted in my mind of, this is a part of my life and what I do.
Yeah.
And this is it's what is establishing roots in my daily habits, my lifestyle, a part of who I am, how I identify as an individual, is a person that gives it all to him. It is a living sacrifice. And as I feed that more, it's like this tree that blossoms within my mind and my life that then translates to every other thing that I'm a part of.
But I think for me with the episode, a main takeaway that I just want to reiterate from earlier is understanding the way that God works in terms of this process of sanctification with intervention and the invitation, and how God will always intervene and always invite. God will do everything that we can't do, so we need to do everything that we can. So God will always intervene. He will invite. We can accept. We can walk into that. And understanding that remains true over all aspects of our walk, surrendering to him, giving everything to him, walking into new season, like whatever it looks like, those things will always remain true. He will always do his part and we must do ours.
You get that from Paige Beckers? You saw that video of her saying it after the game.
I did. I forgot she said that. You know, I'll be hearing a lot of stuff. I'll be forgetting where I heard it, but she definitely said that. Shout out Paige, real talk. She need to follow
that.
But yeah, that's, I wanted to reiterate that point because that's the biggest thing that I had to learn with my life and apply it to my life.
And then I'll add this, because I was supposed to mention this last week in our Wednesday episode, but I wasn't able to. We had someone send in another little note of just what they had learned or what they've been learning. And this is from Jenny. This relates, actually, I feel, to a lot of what we talked about today. But it said, Happy Easter. I wanted to share what's been on my mind the past few weeks since coming back from spring retreat with my college group from church. We sang Another in the Fire by Hillsong a lot. And the last line really struck me. I'll count the joy come every battle, because I know that's where you'll be. Our pastor was just speaking on this about how we tend to only count the cost that comes with every battle when we should be counting the joy that comes with every battle. To Jesus, the cost of his death on a cross was so worth the glory and joy that he would experience with us as we are reunited with our Heavenly Father. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comprehension. And I'm actually glad that I waited to share that for this episode. And this was amazing. It was so fire. And I told her that I definitely had to share this. And I think it relates to everything whenever we talk about just offering ourselves as a sacrifice. We usually do count the cost, but we don't count the joy that comes with it, because it is a burden of love to an extent of I am giving myself to him so he has final say, that he has reign. And with my life in his hands, there's so much joy that comes with that, the connection, the intimacy, and all that I have access to when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, and just what comes with being where he's at, that you can get nowhere else. And so it's not something that we should look at in a negative way or even facetiously, like, oh, okay, oh, another battle, like, okay, right, another thing to give up or to sacrifice, because there's so much joy on the other end of what that looks like. So to her point of when Jesus died on a cross, like, he counted that as joy because of what was going to come on the other end of that.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that we would be reconciled to him and to have a deeper relationship with him, that we would be able to be freed from our sins and he would be reunited with his children. And so it's the same way that we should be looking at this, of this pruning and removing ashes and putting new logs and crucifying these habits and everything else is an opportunity to grow in our sanctification so we can get closer to him and to do what he's called us to do. So there's a joy that we should possess in this and never lose sight of. Mm-hmm. Like, this is just a chore. It's a privilege.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, shout out Jenny. That was great.
Real
so,
talk.
Yeah, we love y'all. Y'all know what it is. We'll be back next week, or at least Friday. So stay you.
Stay real.
And stay humble. Much love.